Today is Christmas Eve, tonight. So public holiday for Malaysia. That's why on the road no traffic. Then I think quite a number of people must have gone for holiday. And some may be invited to Christmas party and gathering. That's why tonight expected. Not many will turn up unless you are the serious one. Okay. Tonight, who wants to light the candle and incense? Ah, yeah, can. Oh, she is here. Neil, come, Angie, come. And one more. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, come. Somebody recommended you. Sadhu. So help to light the incense and candle. Then we all get ready for puja. You can stand, then develop the faith, rejoice, then mindfully develop the offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now we wait for Polian to light the candle. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we can start with the offering of the tray, clear water, incense, and candle. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Stand up and pass on. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 sadu, 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 sadu. Okay, you all can be seated. Thank you. Oh, very good. Loud and clear. So let us compose our mind to develop the calm mind and the faith in the Buddha and the Dhamma, which is the Buddha's teaching. Then we will pay respect mindfully by reciting salutation to the Triple Gem. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho saṅghaṁ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Let us turn to page 4 of the chanting book. Then we will start our Pali chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. We will now chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyantang puja bacana muttamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusumasantatin pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe pujemi budang kusumena nena punena matena ca hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikang hatu mutemang. Then to page 18, the last page, we will do the puja aspiration. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that clears and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merit to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, we will off the light. Then you all can start your meditation. So tonight, I think you have more time. Oh, Angie is new. You first time here? Oh, you came before. You have got the blue book, right? I give her a copy. You go back and read through, you will understand. Together with the seminar book. Pass her the copy. The whole lot of meditation instructions are there. Then the seminar book is for you to understand develop clearer understanding of what this teaching that the Buddha has taught, and how it can help you understand life and make you different. That's why this teaching, even though it's given free, but it's a very, very special and very unique teaching. It can bring forth great transformation to living beings' life, and you can develop great understanding and wisdom to enable you to live the good life. When your mind has this understanding of his teaching, you don't have to be miserable anymore, you don't have to suffer anymore. You will be able to live life so beautifully that every moment there is meaning to life, there is beauty to life, there is a lot of inner peace, inner well-being, leading to all the tranquility and stillness of mind, as opposed to the restless, agitated mind that is full of worry, fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation and unhappiness. The mind that is peaceful, quiet and tranquil is easy to come by, if you understand. Life need not be that way. The moment you have this understanding of the teaching, you become different. You can develop the understanding to train your mind so that it becomes heedful. It will not become heedless anymore. It will not project and give rise to all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. It will instead stay with the moment, with understanding, with clarity of mind, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Then you start to develop understanding of who you are, what you are. And through that, you will not be deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel or think. The sense experience that come through your senses will not delude you anymore. The phenomenal world of consciousness will not delude you anymore. You can understand everything the way it is clearly. And because of that, the teaching is so wonderful and so special. That's why the Buddha is a fully enlightened one. He's not only enlightened, but perfect in wisdom and understanding. That's why he's fully enlightened. So this teaching can bring forth great transformation. Okay, now you can start your meditation straight away for those who already know how to meditate. For those who still need instruction or still new, I will quickly run through. I will teach you the mind sweeping method to bring forth the deconditioning of your heedless thinking so that you can develop more peace, more calmness within your mind state so that you won't think. So you just make sure you have a very stable posture. Then relax body and mind completely. Feel it soothingly relax. Then close your eye. Make sure your backbone is straight. Breathe in, breathe out normally. Then you maintain attention at your forehead. You just feel, don't think, just feel your forehead, feel. If your mind can detect any tension or any stress within, just relax, relax and relax it and all. Feel your forehead muscle soothingly relax. Then you move your awareness or attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same, feel, don't think. If there is any tension, tightness or stress within your eye muscle, auxiliary muscle, you just relax them all. Then you move it to your facial muscle, do the same, just feel, relax. Each and every strain of your facial muscle, feel it soothingly relax. Then in order to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. feel it, feel the smile. When you can smile, you got joy, you got happiness. Then your facial muscle naturally relax by itself. Then you can develop inner well-being by radiating love and metta to yourself. You follow what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being, each and every cells within your body and mind. You can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness and peacefulness within your body and mind. And you can continue to radiate this love and metta. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind state to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you radiate this same metta to all your loved ones. May my loved ones be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize your loved one. Can be your parents, your brothers, your sister, your spouse, your children, your good friend. You visualize them all. Then you radiate this love and metta. May all my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. Free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind state still be peaceful and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue to radiate this same metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Kayanamitas, all Dhamma friends, fellow meditator, may their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be well, happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue with this metta to all beings. May all beings throughout the entire Subang Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, our solar system, our Milky Way and galaxy, and all beings within the entire universe or existence. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind stay still, be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, without any negativity of unwholesome thought. May they have peace and love within. May there be joy, may there be peace, and may there be love deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You can come back to your facial muscle, just feel, relax everything. Then move your attention down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area or your chest area. Just feel. Silent everything and feel. You can detect any vibration around your heart area or heartbeat. You just silent everything and stay there. If you are new, you have not trained your mind, you are not sensitive, it's okay. Then you just feel your heart area, like you feel your forehead. Relax into everything. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Feel. Relax. Don't think. You move it to your abdomen. Feel. Relax. Then you move on to your leg. Feel. Relax. Then your buttock. Feel. Relax. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method from buttock all the way up to your forehead again. You feel, don't think, just feel, then relax everything. Feel your buttock, relax. Feel your leg, relax. Feel your abdomen, silent everything, and then relax. Feel your stomach, relax. Feel your heart or chest area, again, relax into it. Then you feel your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, relax deep into it. Then your neck, and you move it up to your facial muscle again. Feel them all soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then you move on to your eye muscle, feel, relax. Forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. This is the quiet mind, the peaceful mind, the silent mind that you need to develop in order to meditate. But this peace or this silent, they are not stable for those who are still new. That's why you need to stabilize it. I will teach you another skillful means. The Buddha called it anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breathing. Sati is mindfulness. You develop mindfulness training on the mindfulness of this in and out breath in order to anchor your mind so that it will not wander off, so that it will stay there with your breathing. When you are aware of your breathing without thought, you are mindful. You are with the moment. That's why you are peaceful. So this training is very important. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Just breathe in, breathe out normally. You silence your mind and just develop attention at your nostril. In front of your nostril where the breathing goes in and out. You just stay there. Just silent and away. Then when you detect the breath, breathing in, the mind is away. Breathing out, the mind is away. The mind and the breath just move together, synchronized, in harmony, without thought. Initially, when you are new, the mind wanders off very fast. Split second is gone, but don't worry. Be patient. Every time you wanders off, do not react. Just be at peace. Just tell yourself, the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot, wander off very fast. That's why I need to train. So you bring back your attention to your breathing. Then again, you try breathing in, away, breathing out, away. Then later on, breathing in a long breath, you are aware. Breathing in a short breath, you are also aware. Then you just develop this training. After a while, not long, maybe 10 minutes or so, this anapanasati will develop and it will become more and more stable. Then when you are able to be mindful of this breathing, the in and out breath, when you do it until there is no more thinking, then you develop a type of peace they call meditative peace. In Pali, it's called piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness born of the mind that is quiet, without thought. that is only mindful. So this piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. Sometimes they call it spiritual rupture. It's like a rupture, you feel very good. And when you can do that, you will like to meditate. Your mind will have this inner peace, born of a meditative mind. This piti will make you peaceful, calm, and just aware within. Then you continue to relax into that state. It will become more and more peaceful, more and more refined, until it becomes blissful. They call it sukha. Then as you continue to relax into it, allow it to stabilize, then sukha will also transform into pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind, your true mind. When that state arises, your whole of your breathing will become like very subtle, like no more breathing. When that happens, I will sadhu you because you have progressed well. Then you can just silence everything and stay there. Do not do anything, just silence and just maintain awareness there. Not long, this tranquility of mind or stillness of mind will become very stable. Then when it becomes very stable, you will experience the quietness, the stillness, the tranquility, the silent mind without thought. During that time, you will have a lot of clarity. And that is the meditative mind that can meditate and understand many, many things. So now I'll leave it to you to do this training so that I shall ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will continue with our invitation to the devas, invocation to the devas. Then the page 6 of the chanting book. I will read to you the English, then I will chant the Pali, okay? Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching or the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Bandata Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijacharana sampanno sugato lokavido Anotaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusamang buddho Do Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditatbo Inohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Nyāyapatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Sāmicipatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho Yatidam chattari purisa yokani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sango ahuneyo pahuneyo nakineyo anjali karaniyo Anuttaraṃ puṇyaketaṃ lokasāthi Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay. Where is the J. Krishnamurti note last week? Oh. Okay, tonight we will go through this J. Krishnamurti code. Ah, yes. Pass it out. Pass it out. I still have here. Enough of that. Okay, enough. Okay, tonight we will go through these three very important J. Krishnamurti code so that you can develop the understanding of the Buddha's teaching. The first code is very interesting. The title is, if you listen completely, there is no listener. You can understand this word, isn't it? Every time you hear something, or you are listening attentively to something, is there a person inside there listening? That is the question. If you meditate, you silence your mind, you will come to this understanding, this realization, and you will get a shock of your life, that there is nobody inside there listening. Of course, you will not agree with me. You will tell me, Rati, how can I have been living for so long and you say there is nobody inside here? Precisely that's what the teaching is all about. The Buddha said everything that arises in this universe, no matter what is it, it can be any phenomena, may it be physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, including our own so-called form and mind, or the human being, or the living being. They are not what you think, the Buddha said. They have these three universal characteristics of impermanence, because they are condition arising. Dependent on condition, it arises. That's why it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. So because they are dependent originating, when condition changes, it will change. That's why it's in a state of flux, continuously evolving, continuously changing. That's why this body of ours, continuously as it's born into this world, the three conditions that animate it into a living being or a human being, these are the three things that continuously nurture this so-called human being. Upon conception, of course, through science, you will know the mother and the father, the parent, sperm and ovum, they come into contact. Then after that, they sustain their what they call growth through the mother's womb. Then later on, as the cells subdivide through the genetic mapping and whatever that comes through karmic conditioning, the organ, everything, this starts to form. Then later on, consciousness comes in. The inception of consciousness from your karmic force give life to the baby or the fetus. Then from there, you have not only the mother's heartbeat, you will have the baby's heartbeat too. Then from there, it evolves. As long as these three conditions are there, it will continue to sustain the arising of this baby. It's just like a plant with the seed, with all the conditions, nutrients, water, air, and all those things, it will start to germinate, the sunlight, all those things. Then it will grow into a small plant, then bigger plant, then a tree. Then later on, after puberty, it will start to stabilize. Then they call it the decaying stage. Means the tree will not grow anymore. It will start to decay. Then it will start to wither. Then it will, what they call, go through the dissolution stage. That's why there is a growth phase. Then it plateau off. Then it decay off. And finally, when condition cease to be, you say die. So the human being is the same. Our karmic force, the life force, is very important. That gives you life. That's why the pulse of life come to your heartbeat. Understand that? The heartbeat. It will pump the heart. Then, together with the heartbeat, you have this karmic force, which is the life force, continuously pump the heart. And it gives rise to the consciousness energy that you need to become a human being. That's how it animates you into a human being. That's how you have thought process. That's how you can become conscious of things. That's how you can hear things, see things, smell things, taste things, tactile feel it, arise the thought process. Then the sixth sense door create the sixth type of consciousness. That's why you can be aware or conscious of everything that the sense door consciousness give rise to. You can have sight and sound. You can have smell, taste, bodily feeling, tactile feeling. Then you can have thought process, mental states, everything. So these are part and process, part and parcel of the human evolution. The living beings, what they call conditioning. So as long as these three are there, you will continue to function as a human being. Means you have the karmic force that support you, then you have this physical body that is in proper condition for it to support the consciousness that is trapped inside. Because upon birth, when consciousness come in, that is the rebirth consciousness. Immediately from there, it starts to evolve. But when you are in the mother's womb, it has no little or no activity at all. But the moment you are born into this world, then your brain starts to develop memory, cognitive power. Then people teach you, papa, mama, then all these things. Then you accumulate. That's why the beginning of thought is the beginning of registration. That's why thought is respond to memory. When memory is there, the consciousness can create thought and produce thought. That's how living being can learn, especially human being. Then when we say, you see, you hear, actually there is a delusion. It pertains to this form and mind, but this form and mind is conditionalizing, the Buddha say, not you. Because it follow condition. That's why the physical body, they will go through the four phases. Birth, growth stage, plateauing off, then it will decay. Finally, separation of condition lead to death. Just like the voice you hear from me. How does it come about? Because you have this ear, the organ, that is in proper functioning condition. That's why when I speak through the microphone, there is this vibration. The Buddha called this the sense data. The sense data, upon imprinting with your eardrum, it sends a signal to the brain. Then the brain, which has consciousness and the mind, upon contact, it becomes conscious of this vibration. Then you perceive it through your memory. That's how you can understand my voice, the English words that I use. So you call it hearing consciousness. According to the Buddha, upon contact, there is no one inside there to hear. He said, in the hearing, there is only the hearing consciousness. It's just a very natural process. He called it dependent originating. Upon contact, it triggers off consciousness. So the similar analogy that can allow you to understand is the physics experiment that I used to draw. Maybe tonight, it will help you all. So this is the battery. You got positive and negative. So this one is the battery, is the power bank or power source. So this is like your consciousness. Because it can give rise to electricity. Then upon contact, what happened? When you on the switch, what happened? The light bulb will light up in there. Do you need a God to create the light? No need in there. It's dependent originating, is it? Nature's law, is it? Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. So this light bulb is like your organ. When you send the electricity through, it's like you send the consciousness through, then it becomes light up. So the lighting up is like your seeing consciousness, if it's the eye. Seeing consciousness. So let's say this one is your eye, EYE. So upon contact, it becomes conscious of what it sees. So this is what seeing consciousness is about, all about. So the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only this consciousness. There is nobody inside there. But because you are so conditioned since young, you always associate with what you see and what you hear. That's why you say, I see. I hear. Therefore, this entity arise. So tonight we are going through this code, which explain it in a different way. But what I want you to understand is the Buddha's way. We have to analyze this so-called delusion. When you say, I see, who is this I? Okay, maybe now we go into it. When you say I see, who is this I that you are referring to? Who? If you understand this, you will develop the awakening very fast in the meditation. It's a very easy question, isn't it? Every day you say, I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile feel, and I think. Is this the truth or is it a myth? M-Y-T-H. Maybe we go a bit slower. What is this I when you say, I see? Who is this fellow? Who is this for? You will answer me what? I la. Understand? Oh, brother Teo la. Understand? Correct la? Is that the truth? Is that the real statement? We have to go into this. Who is this I? Let's say if your eye, which is the organ, is not functioning, there is no seeing in that. The blind people don't see that. Correct? Then who is the eye? Because they can't see. So the eye, the personality, the ego, doesn't exist. Then when you say, I see, you are referring to this one. Without eye, you cannot see that. Correct or not? The blind people don't see that. Correct or not? Then you will tell me what? My organ see. Understand or not? True or not? Huh? My eye see. Correct or not? Logical or not? Huh? Without eye, you cannot see that. So you say, my eye see. So this eye, you are referring to your eye. Logical or not? Can follow or not? Without eye, you cannot see that. So you say, okay, my eye see. Then the dead man, you open the eye, what happened? The dead man cannot see that. Got eye also cannot see that. But before he died, he can see that. So what is actually seeing? Without eye, you cannot see. But dead man with eye also cannot see. So what is this seeing consciousness? How does it come about? Huh? I alone cannot see. Dead man cannot see. Understand that? Can follow that? Without the organ, the blind man also cannot see. Dead man don't have what? Consciousness. The consciousness is separate from this body, understand? So without this battery power, which is the consciousness or the mind, he also cannot see, understand? So I alone cannot see. Mind alone also cannot see. Because the blind man has mind, has consciousness, understand? But he cannot see that. Correct not? So seeing, consciousness, come from where? Seeing, consciousness, require all the three things to be there. Understand? You must have the organ. You must have the consciousness. Then there must be contact. Understand? This is contact. Contact is attention. When you pay attention to your seeing, then you are observing the seeing consciousness, understand? But there is no body inside there. That's why seeing consciousness is condition arising, depend on these three. This one, plus this one, plus this one. These are the three conditions that bring about seeing. Means there must be a mind, consciousness. There must be organ that is functioning. Then there must be contact, which is attention. Then seeing consciousness comes to be. And according to the Buddha, he said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, just like this physical experiment. Nature's law, dependent originating. The moment you on the switch, the light bulb will light up, means it becomes conscious of what it see, or what it hear, what it smell, what it taste, what it tactile feel and think. This is theory. You must meditate until you see this clearly. Then you are not deluded. When you are not deluded means you come to understand that this so-called I is a delusion. There is nobody inside there. Because everything is dependent originating, condition arising. Without eye, cannot see. Without consciousness, cannot see. Without contact, also cannot see. All the three must come together. That's why this so-called human being is also supported by the three entities. What are the three entities? First one is the consciousness, through your life force. That's why your heartbeat pump. And this is what karmic force is all about, from karma, from your karmic nature. That's why you are born of it, here to eat, conditioned and supported by it. Then you need to have a physical body, an asana, which initially was just the parents' sperm and ovum. Then they subdivide. Yeah, those who study biology, they will know. Then after that, what else do you need? You need the consciousness. That's why the rebirth consciousness come in when you are still what they call in the initial stage of conception. Initially, the mother's nutrient, placenta, through the placenta, and the mother's heartbeat, everything sustain the growth of that cells, the subdivision and all that, until the consciousness comes in. Then when the consciousness come in, you, the doctor will know, they can detect two heartbeats. Yeah. And that initial consciousness is called rebirth consciousness. Just one moment of thought, moment, that rebirth consciousness is conditioned by the karmic nature. That's why the Buddha asks you to reflect and contemplate. It's in the chanting book, the last of the five daily contemplation. Each and every living being, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So you have to understand this. Then from a single consciousness, it starts to evolve, become more and more complicated as you take birth. Then through the conditioning, your parents or your mate or the people who bring you up. Then as you go to kindergarten, primary school, a lot of things condition you into what you are. Then your brain develops. Then your consciousness develops and become more and more sophisticated. So this consciousness, starting from the single rebirth consciousness, become more and more sophisticated. That's why it's a bundle of memory with the storehouse of consciousness. And that identifies you. Through delusion, you grasp and cling on to this bundle of consciousness, which is your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. And this is what you think you are. And from here, you act. There's an acting according to memory or your consciousness conditioning. Views and opinion is not acting at all. But this is delusion. This is egoic. There is nobody inside there. That's why meditation is to realize this delusion, to break free from it, so that you are not entangled. All those people who has depression, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, it comes from lack of understanding of this thought process, this brain, this mind, this memory. Because you cling, you grasp, you hold, and deludedly react. That's why that egoic mind, the Buddha called this self-delusion, sakkayaditti, self-delusion, because there is no such thing as a I or a me inside there. So in Pali, it's called sakkayaditti. If you cannot resolve this, fear will continue to have power over you. Worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation will continue to have power over you. Because the moment you believe you exist, what happens? This entity becomes selfish. That's how greed comes to be, the first evil root. It wants to own things, want to possess things, want to be possessive, aggressive. Then it can also become violent, emotional, develops envy and jealousy. And that's how the evil roots of anger, hatred come to be. Then the last one is delusion. When it's deluded, not understanding who you are, what you are, you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, because you fear of dying. You fear of the unknown. You fear of losing your loved ones. There are many things in life that you will develop fear because you think you exist, you think you own, and you think all those belong to you. That's why you worry. You fear that when you die, a lot of things that you own, they are not taken care of. And even before you die, you worry about it stolen, separate from you. And many, many other things. Because when you cling attached to all this that you believe you own through this entity, you develop suffering. Because attachment brings about suffering. You worry about them getting old, getting sick, and one day die and separate from you. You worry about losing your wealth, your career, your possession, your loved ones. So all this bring about suffering through the delusion, self-delusion, which is the I. So now today's Krishnamurti code is to let you understand this delusion so that you will know how to develop the understanding. Then when you reflect and contemplate deep into it, when you meditate, it's very easy for you to understand because you will see clearly, like what the Buddha said. In the hearing, there is only the hearing consciousness. There is no one to hear. That I hear comes from the thought, anasa, the thought which is egoic and deluded, associated with the seeing and the hearing. That's how it confuses living being. That's how it deludes living being and create all the suffering, according to what the Buddha mentioned clearly under the First Noble Truth final summary. He said, in short, the final summary, it is through your self-delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling at the five aggregate of form and mind, which is what the human being is all about. Yeah? Because you think this human being is you. This one got a mind, which is your consciousness. Then it has a physical body. That's why the Buddha said you are the form and the mind. Excuse me, I need to drink. Thank you. So this form and mind, the Buddha said, physical body is your physical form. The mind is the consciousness that is trapped inside. So the Buddha subdivided this mind into four more aggregates. If you want to understand these four aggregates, it's very easy. You ask yourself, what can your mind do? Huh? What can your mind do? Huh? You use your mind every day. What can your mind do? Huh? No, the basic primary characteristic is capable of what? First is you can feel things in it. Hot or cold, you can feel in there, correct or not? Huh? You have this ability to feel in there. So feeling is an aggregate of mind. You can feel hot or cold. Yeah? Then tactile. Yeah? Then second one is what? How do you know things? How do you know my voice? How do you know this Buddha image? Suyan's house. The lighting, the fan, the aircon. How do you know them? You perceive them in there. So perception. Perception. This is the second aggregate. The Buddha called it sanya. That's why we chant. Feeling is vedana. Then form is rupa, physical body, this form. Form, physical form is rupa. So this is the aggregate of form. One. Then the aggregate of mind. The third one is what? What else can your mind do? Your mind can think, isn't it? Think a lot, isn't it? Arise mental activity there. your planning, your scheming, yeah? Your emotion, your mental states, your cunningness, deceitfulness, all this is what your mind can do. So they call it mental activity. Everything that your mind can do, or sankhara. Then the last one is what? What else can your mind do? Huh? It can become conscious. Correct or not? Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So consciousness is your last one. They call it vijnana. So this four aggregate of mind, together with the form aggregate, form the five aggregates of form and mind. Form and mind. And this is what the human being is all about. And the Buddha said, this one is not you. But this one is karmically, through karma, born of your karma, head of your karma, conditioned, supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of karma. So this one is your human being, which is what you deludedly believe is you. So this one is the one that you arise through karma. That's why karmically conditioned into this world. Condition. Into this world. This is how you come. That's why the Buddha say you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of it. And this so-called you and the I is the human being, understand not? And this one is not you, the Buddha said. That's why you deludedly think this is you, then you will get into serious entanglement, serious trouble, and you will have suffering. You will have fear, worry, anxiety, you will have attachment, you will have craving, you will cling, you will grasp, you will hold, and you will become miserable. Yeah. So, is it clear? Got any question before we go into the Krishnamurti code? But this is very important understanding. Yeah? There are some who are new. Yeah? You don't worry. You take your time to slowly digest. Yeah? Later on, you read the green book. It's all in the book. Yeah? Then also this talk is recorded. You don't have to worry. Yeah? You just pay attention, listen, so that you can understand. The moment you understand this, you will break free. And you will not be deluded like before. You will not do things foolishly like before. Then you can use this one, this so-called form and mind, the human being, to live life. Because it is not me, but karmically conditioned out for me to use, then I use, understand not? Like your car, use it. Don't worry about it getting old, getting sick and die, understand not? But this one is not you, understand not? That's why it can allow you to live life. So use it to live life. To experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. But don't use it to create delusion and suffering for yourself and become miserable over life. And that is stupidity. Because you don't know how to use. You go and worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. You don't live life. You don't use it to live. You use it to worry. And you use it to hit out at others and hit out at yourself by arising the self-delusion that trigger off the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. The three evil roots will make this human being very evil. And when you become evil, the law of karma will hit you back. That's why you are born of your karma, head of your karma, conditioned, supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So if you don't have this understanding of the teaching, this wisdom, You don't know how to make use of this human being to live life in accordance with the nature's law. Then when it hit back, when you get yourself entangled, you don't blame anybody. Because the Buddha said, you yourself, through delusion, created this. That's why this human being will suffer. But because karmically connected, that's why the consciousness that is trapped inside will experience that suffering. And who make you suffer? Huh? Who? You think there's a God? There's a Giam Bo Ong? No such thing. Even the Giam Bo Ong also, when you die, he asks you, why you go and commit all these things? Why you so stupid? Then now you're born in hell and you complain. It's you yourself, through delusion, created all the karmic negativity and you fall. That's how you are born of your karma. You will go down to hell, willful state, and you suffer. But those who train their mind, develop understanding, they have good life. They are reborn in better rhyme. Then when they can connect and develop this understanding, every life they come, they make use of this form and mind, which is what you are, to live. To experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and to develop all the wholesomeness, goodness, no more negativity. Just like the video I sent out, the Ali San Kunyang. The melody, the video, and the nature, everything is so beautiful. Life can be so beautiful, and yet you don't know how to experience them yourself. And most human beings doing what? Getting angry, unhappy, jealous, envy, emotional, worry about this, worry about that, arguing over this, arguing over that. In the office also, a lot of problems. Come home also, a lot of problems. Then, what is life to you? Can't you have a few minutes of silence just to enjoy the music and forget about all those things that your thought tell you? Understand? You worry about it, worry about that. Who worry? The thought worry. The egoic mind, the delusion worry. But when you understand, there is no problem. The mind is peaceful. This moment, I am peaceful. Why do I worry about the future, project my thought and worry? Whatever that arises, I confront it with understanding. Then when I confront it with understanding, I can live the moment and be at peace with it. Then I resolve it amicably. I ask myself, what are my options? What actually happened? The reality is, it happened already. So if it happened already, I have to accept that reality. Then I move. I make decision. I don't go and worry about it. I don't go and project my thought and make myself miserable over it. If it's the reality, I come to terms with it, accept it. Then I ask myself, what can I do so that I won't entangle myself with the nature's law, so that I won't get into trouble, so that I can resolve this amicably, so that nobody gets hurt. So that I don't develop selfishness, I don't become emotional, I don't become angry over small things, I don't develop envy, jealousy, hatred. No point, these are evil roots, make you evil, make you miserable, cause your karma to fall. And this will bring about negativity, unwholesome mind state. That's how you reap what you sow. When you hit out at people, do all these things to people, you cause suffering to fellow living beings. In future, when there is condition, your form and mind will suffer. People will do back to you. And this is what nature's law of karma is all about. So when you understand that, you will never allow your nature, your karmic nature, to fall like before. That's why you will be very heedful, very mindful. You will train yourself to arise what we went through last week. The four right effort to abandon all the unwholesome thought that has arisen, the wrong thought that has arisen. Then arise the right effort to prevent the wrong thought or unwholesome thought from arising. Then use the right effort to cultivate the right thought that are still not in you, so that it will condition your right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the last one is right effort to refine upon all this right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood and perfect them. And then this is the beginning of cultivation. And how to overcome that? The five ways that the Buddha taught. First way, they are all in the notes. You don't have to remember. In the Heart Sutta note. The five ways are very simple. The Buddha said first, two are thought-based. First, he said, think of the direct opposite, wholesome thought. If you have anger, think of love. When you have love, metta, you cannot be angry. If you have cruelty, think of the direct opposite, wholesome thought, which is compassion. So, all this can actually allow you to develop the opposite wholesome mind state. When you have what they call selfishness, think of generosity, the opposite wholesome thought. Be generous. Develop more and more wholesomeness, less and less negativity. Yeah. So the first way can only solve your problem temporarily. But you cannot always have problem, think of the opposite wholesome thought. Your problem is still there. Understand? But at least your mind state, the Buddha said, you can abandon the unwholesome thought. There is a reason. But because your problem is not solved, that wrong thought will come back to you. Understand? Your fear, your worry, your anxiety will come back to you. So the Buddha said, go to the second way. Think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought. Let's say if it's a anger, hatred, or envy, jealousy, selfishness, or fear. If you allow this wrong thought to stay in your heart, in your mind, what will happen to you? These are evil roots, isn't it? Root of all evil. It will make you evil. Right? Then law of karma say, you reap what you sow. That's why you will fall. You will become miserable. So the evil root is the root of all evil. It will make you evil. Is that what you want? Where is your life? So if that is not what you want, then you better learn how to abandon it. It's wrong thought, or root it out. That's why when you hate people, you only need to forgive and forget. Then you free yourself. You not only forgive that person. When you forgive, means you don't have any more anger and hatred towards that person. Means you root out this anger, this hatred, this envy, this jealousy from your heart. And when you do that, your heart is free. That's why you free yourself. You no longer holding on to this evil root. Because these are root of all evil. It will make you evil. So when this anger, hatred no more, you become peaceful, beautiful. So the first two way is still thought-based. It doesn't develop wisdom. And it's temporary. So the Buddha said, third way is to go and meditate. Silence your mind. Every time all this unwholesome mind state come, anger, fear, worry, anxiety, envy, jealousy, when they come, you stay with it. Silence your mind. Then you realize these are conditioned arising state. Before you are angry, before you are fearful, you are peaceful. That's why when you silence your mind, which is meditation, the silent mind, don't do anything, just relax and aware, then you become peaceful. Then you realize peace is so easy. As long as I'm not deluded, I don't stir my mind and react to what I see, what I hear, what I smell, what I taste, what I tactile feel and think, I am peaceful. But then you realize peace is not difficult. I only need to be with the emotion. Because like the Buddha said, feeling, perception, mental formation and consciousness, they are impermanent. They are conditioned arising, causal phenomena. They come and they go. So when you stay with them, all this negative energy field or emotion, like fear, worry, anxiety, anger, and emotional negativity, they will cease to be. So you only need to silence your mind, then it will cease to be. Yeah. So that third way is meditative peace that will come about through an understanding. Then you realize the mind that doesn't grasp, doesn't cling, not deluded, is peaceful. Yeah. But you haven't developed the wisdom yet. That's how you go to the fourth way, the Buddha said. Fourth way is to trace the origination factor. Means before you get angry, you were not angry. Before there is fear, you were not fearful. Then how does anger come about? How does fear come about? The Buddha said, check. So next time when you get angry, you recall, oh, after I saw the fellow, that last time cheated me, deceived me. Then your mind, through your conditioning, react. That's why you become angry with that person, unhappy with that person. Then when you project your thought, there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety. Then you realize it arises through your sense door consciousness, which is your last aggregate of mind. Either something you see, you hear, or you smell, taste, tactile, feel, or through your thought process, you recall when you project your thought. Then you realize it is this delusion or wrong view that conditions you to stir your mind, to react, to get angry, to become fearful, to become unhappy. Then you already understood why you become like that, isn't it? So how you free your mind? You retrospectively, through this understanding, reverse it. That is what meditation is all about. That's why the meditation, the Buddha said, you silence your mind and be mindful throughout the day. In the midst of life, develop daily mindfulness so that you can see how your mind stir, how it reacts to sense experience, how you get yourself entangled. Then you reflect and contemplate and ask yourself, why did my mind always behave this way? And then you realize it's habitual tendency. It's your wrong thought, wrong view, your conditioning, where you cannot accept people for what they are. You cannot accept what happened. You always have craving, desire to want things your way. Your preference, born of your wrong view, your conditioning, where you are so conditioned. And the ego is so strong. This one has a lot of preference, craving, desire, egoic. And this one is very selfish. That's why because of selfishness, because of greed, hatred, and delusion, the three evil roots, this delusion creates the suffering. And then you realize, if I don't hold on to this delusion, if there is he no me, he no you, then how should I live? I go back to right view, nature's law, law of karma. And when I know there is law of karma, then this form of mind is subject to karma. And that's why I have to take care of karma. That's why this one must do its duty well. It must train its mind to be mindful, to be heedful, to see clearly its delusion, to see clearly its mental intention. If its mental intention is evil, it will lead to evil, coming downfall. Then you reap what you sow. That's how suffering comes to be. So if you understand that you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma, and you are what you are because karma, then you realize karma plays such a great role in your life. Means you have to take care of karma, otherwise you will suffer, you will fall. So how to take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good. Then purify your mind to develop wisdom. That is Dhammapada verse 183. Then how to avoid all evil? The Buddha said, keep your precept. Those who violate their five precepts commit evil. Who are the people who kill and harm fellow living beings? The first precept. Who are the people who cheat and deceive or steal from people? Who are the people who commit sexual misconduct, tell lies, develop all the unwholesome speech and action? And who are the people who partake in intoxicants and lead to downfall? These are people with the evil root. Only selfish people, violent people, and deluded people kill and harm because they have a motive. Greedy people steal, cheat, deceive. Then lustful people with a lot of greed, they commit sexual misconduct. Then those who lie because they got what they call motive behind, because they don't want the advantage to be known, or they don't want their sin to be known. That's why they lie, they deceive, and they cheat. Then those who partake in intoxicant, like they drink, they smoke, is because they have suffering. They have fear, they have worry, they have anxiety. They want to drown their sorrow. Like last time, we used to joke, huh? There's one classmate, I think, I don't know, Long Sisem, he liked that song, Could You Man Pei? He always sing that song. So why do you do that? It's because they got no choice. That is the only way they know. That's why when they smoke, they become more calm, more peaceful. That's why they get hooked. Then they drink because they want to forget about their problem. But next day you wake up, the hangover is still there, your problem is still there, it's still not resolved. Then you got your, what they call, the hangover result is what? You vomit and you become miserable. So all this is not the way to solve your problem. The way to solve your problem is to develop clarity of mind, wisdom, to understand all this and reverse all this so that you will not be deluded by the earlier way you live your life through heedlessness. Okay, now maybe this is already enough. Huh? We go to Krishnamurti code. Then hopefully you understand. Okay, the first code, if you listen completely, there is no listener. So exactly like the Buddha's teaching. In the hearing, it's only the hearing consciousness. There is no one to hear. Okay? So, listen. Krishnamurti said, listen to those crow. You know crow, Ouya, is it? Do listen, is it? If you listen completely, the question is there a center from which you are listening? You know what is the center or not? What is the center? Self-delusion, the I. Understand or not? You do it in the meditation. In the mindful state, when you are heedful throughout the day, when you are just silent, you listen. When you are very attentive without thought, you listen. You find out for yourself, is there a center from which you are listening? That one is a delusion. That is your egoic mind. That's why when you are not silent completely, the thought will be active. That's how egoic mind come to be. That's why you will never understand. Because those who do that type of meditation, thought-based, can never understand because they never go through that silence. Then Krishnamurti say, your ears are hearing or listening. And this is what actually happens in meditation when you are silent. The ears, the organ, receive the vibration, understand? And there is no word on, understand? Just the vibration. Then, the perception of it through memory, understand? That's how it come about. Then you realize, hey, it's this movement. Before that movement, there was nothing. That's why my definition to you about sati is what? Awareness before the knowing. Remember? Before the perception. Before the labeling. Before the word come out. And that is the real awareness. When you are aware without words, without memory, without any of the mind activity, that is pure attention. So Krishnamurti said, your ears are listening. There is sound or vibration. So there is sound. Oh, sorry, there is noise. There is vibration. And all the rest of it means there is the consciousness of those activity moving on. So without words. It's just like that phenomena. You can use word later, the vibrating and all those things. How upon contact, all those movement inside your eardrum and the knowing mind that try to understand and perceive through your mental activity and your mental aggregate of perception of sanya. That's why sankhara sanya move very fast. But when you are completely silent without the movement, that is true listening. It's just like when you meditate, when there is pain, tactile, when there is pain. If you don't label it, you just silent and develop awareness of it, what do you experience? Yeah? They describe to you the pulling sensation, but without the word one, understand or not? Asana, that tactile consciousness, that phenomena that develop inside there. Of course, later on they describe to you the pulling sensation, the what and what. All those are already thought-based words. The real one is when you completely silent and feel it. Then just aware. Then relax into it. Then you see what happens. Then you see how the phenomena cease to be. How when you don't label it as mental hindrance, pain, sati take over. Then if you know how to relax into it, that she flow through, then you develop the inner peace, the inner well-being. Then that mindfulness make you peaceful, relaxed, aware. That's why meditation become easy, no more pain. So listening also same, but listening is more difficult to do because it involves daily life, in the midst of life. That's why daily mindfulness is very difficult. Then Krishnamurti said, there is noise, there is this vibration and all the rest of it, but there is no center from which you are listening. Anasana, you have to realize that there is nobody there. Then the next one is what? There is only attention. Anasana. What is attention? When you pay attention, you just silence your mind and attentively aware. Anasana. A human being cannot do that. Where they think a lot, mental hindrance. They don't have stability of mindfulness. That's why they cannot be heedful in the midst of life. That's why the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. Understand or not? If you can't be mindful and heedful in the midst of life, you are as if dead. Forget about meditation. It's as blunt as that. Understand or not? That's why a lot of people don't understand why daily mindfulness is so important. To have heedfulness in the midst of life, you have to train the mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. When it's ever mindful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, then only you become heedful. That's why heedfulness got two parts. Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative and ever mindful and steadfast one, you hold on to these two cultivations steadfastly, you will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. And this is what the meditation is all about. So if you cannot be ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is constantly meditative, you are not heedful at all. That's why heedfulness is very important. Dhammapada verse 21, the Buddha already make it very clear. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. Spiritually, you are as if dead. So without mindfulness, without heedfulness, you cannot meditate, you cannot progress. So this code is very important. Then Krishnamurti said, therefore, if you listen completely, there is no listening. There is only the fact of that vibration or noise. To listen completely, you must be what? That's why meditation is about silent anasana. If you busy meditating inside there, noting this, noting that, and do all those funny things, how can you be silent? Correct? Silent means what? Not only don't talk, no. Don't chatter and don't verbalize. And that is your internal mental chattering. Understand? No? Mental verbalization. And that is the most difficult to cut off. Because you are so habitual. The mental hindrances are so strong. When your mind is restless, when your mind has craving, like and dislike, what does it do? A lot, it chatter a lot, understand? It verbalize a lot. Everything also verbalize. Everything also want to keep on. They say rain also complain, no rain also complain. See something only, got so much thing to talk about already. Ayo, why the fellow like that? Or read the newspaper only, ayo, why? How come these people do all this? Means what? You cannot accept all this reality for what it is. you must stir your mind, you must react, and you must complain. And sometimes not enough. Your friend next door or nearby, you talk to him, open a discussion some more. And what you think? I think these people need to know what. That's what human beings are all about. That's why they become so heedless. They think a lot, and they comment a lot, they verbalize a lot, they judge a lot. So if you are not mindful, not heedful, this is what you are doing. And throughout the day, you react to sense experience. Means react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think, or what you read through the papers and listen to the media. You will stir your mind. You will react until it becomes habitual tendency. That's why the mental hindrances are always there, like and dislike. Pleasant and unpleasant sensation, your reaction, the duality, all this will continue to arise. And that is the one that makes you miserable. Yeah, these are mental hindrances. Hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, aware, silent. That's why they cannot meditate. That's why meditation is about developing the opposite five spiritual faculty of faith, which is sadha, then spiritual zeal, virya, then mindfulness. That's why you have to train your mind to be mindful. Then you have to stabilize it until it becomes samadhi, which is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. Then only you can have clarity of mind to see things as they are, to develop wisdom, which is the last of the five spiritual faculty. And when your five spiritual faculty is in place, the mental hindrance cease to be. And that is what meditation is all about. That's why all our puja is to develop the mental faculties, to reverse the mental hindrance. And all our meditative training or meditation training to decondition your heedless thinking, to bring about training of the mind to be aware, peaceful, and to stabilize it, so that the spiritual faculty of mindfulness is established. Then you stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then it stabilizes to become samadhi. Then you develop pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. And that is the meditative mind. That's why Krishnamurti said, to listen completely, you must be silent. And that silence is not something in the thought. It has nothing to do with the thought. The moment you thought-based meditation, use thought and verbalize, you are gone. Or note, label, pain, 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 sound, 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 you are gone. Understand or not? You totally don't understand meditation. So Krishnamurti make it very clear. To listen completely, you must be silent. And that silence is not something in thought, created by thought. So now you understand why meditation is just relaxed, aware, silent, no thought. When you listen to that crow that is making the noise, before it goes to sleep so completely that there is no listener, you will see that there is no entity that say, I am listening. Understand not? You must realize that in the midst of life. That's why you have to be very clear, contemplate until very, very clear, then realize it. Then when that realization dawns upon you, you are not deluded anymore. Then you understand how you function as a human being. Then you understand who are you, what are you. Then you got no more delusion. Then all this external phenomenal world, external form, mental aggregates of feeling, perception, activity of mind, conscious, they have no more power over you. They got no more power to delude you and make you deluded. And when they lose us to have power over you, your mind liberate, awaken, and you become beautiful. And you can develop this type of understanding to free your mind. Then from then onward, you will have no more suffering, no more delusion, and life become like very beautiful. Straight away, you are like completely transformed. You start to realize the great meaning in life. You start to see the beauty of life, the wonders of life. Then you can really live life to the fullest. Yeah. You got no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more delusion. And this form of mind, you understand it very clearly. Yeah. You use it to live, to do the thing that you want to do in life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Then you want to use it to learn things, experience things. You can use it. It's for you to use. Karmically conditional for you to use. That's why use it with wisdom. Use it with understanding. Do not be deluded anymore. Then you will know how to do your duty in accordance with the law, nature's law that governs life and existence, mainly the law of karma, the law of mind, and the law of truth, which is karma niyama, law of karma, citta niyama, law of the mind, and dhamma niyama, law of the truth. Yeah. Okay, we move on. The first quote, finish. Any question? Yeah? Any question so far? Do you have any question? Can follow us? Oh, good. Then we go to the second quote, which is equally good. Truth is not something far away, Krishnamurti say. How many of you can agree with this? Huh? Can you agree with this? A lot of people say, "Ayo, still cannot lah. I so child, and how can I understand?" Oh, they say Buddha's time only easy, now Buddha not around, very difficult. Who say that? Huh? Who say that? Your thoughts say that. Who are you? What are you? You have the potential to become a Sammasambuddha. You got the gem inside you, your true nature. You never realize that. Like the Zen story, there is this Zen story, I don't know whether you heard of it or not. There is this wise man in town, so everybody heard about it, Then this beggar say, not for me. He say, because people like me, beggar, where got chance? They say, no, this wise man help everybody, regardless of whether you wise or unwise, poor or rich or what. Then they say, okay. Then they go and see this wise man, approach him. And you know what the wise man give him or not? Give him one of the triple gem. So what is a triple gem? Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. But he cannot understand. He hold on to it. Actually, it's a gemstone. But he doesn't know it's a gemstone because not polished yet. Understand? Like the Buddha Dhamma, you haven't penetrated it yet. It's just like he gave you the Dhamma, then asked you to go and understand it. He saw it like a piece of stone. Actually, it's a gem. Actually, the teaching is there. You know what beggar do? Oh, you're this fellow funny. I want money because I'm very poor, but I'm a beggar. I need something to buy food and all those things. This guy gave me a stone. Then what he do? He throw it away. Living being like that. Triple gem. When you take refuge, the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, the refuge teacher, administer the triple gem to you. You like the beggar throw away. You never polish it. You never cultivate it. You never use it. So actually, each and every one of us, we are given this gem within. But you never purify your mind. You never cultivate precepts. Avoid all evil, do good. Follow the advice of the Buddha to realize that gem. That's why you say, I cannot, I'm very child. So Krishnamurti tell you the same thing. Truth is not something far away. And now we go through, you understand. We do not have to seek truth. Can you understand this statement or not? Who is seeking truth? Who? Hey, louder. Louder, really, it's going to help you. Don't be like, not sure like that. Paisei. Speak it out. Who is seeking truth? That's why Krishnamurti say, we do not have to seek truth. Who is seeking truth? What is it? Yeah, self-delusion is correct, but who is the entity? The thought, the ego, the self. The thought, the ego is seeking truth. Then remember Tuesday class, what did I say? Now maybe I write it clearer. Which one got in? Got red color nuts, yeah. This I, is okay, this one got in. Which is the egoic mind is seeking truth. Okay? So, this fellow is seeking truth, okay? So we call it the seeker. Where does he seek? He seek outside. Understand? Where he thought truth is outside him. Understand? That's why he go and look for all the teacher, all the guru, all the master, and he run all over. Not knowing that the gem is within him. What did the Buddha say? Krishnamurti also say the same thing. If you kill this fellow, what happened? The Buddha said. When there is no more I, means no more seeker, what happened? You will awaken, isn't it? Because you got no more sakayadity, isn't it? Self-delusion, isn't it? You will awaken in that. So Krishnamurti say the same. What happens if the seeker is the sick? Actually, you are looking for self, for something which is within you. The moment you are silent, without thought, the seeker ceases to be, then the truth manifests, arises. And it's so simple. Meditation is just like that. That's why Huineng say, the moment you realize your true mind, you already awaken. You don't have to do anything else. And truth is just so simple, so near. But the trouble with living being is you cannot silent to connect, to realize that. That's why you're forever chasing, looking outside, using what? Your thought, the egoic mind. That's why the Buddha say, the thought, which is the mind, is the forerunner of all things. Remember that? Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. When mind arises, what happened? Everything arises. That's why the mind-right world, the phenomenal world, the condition arising world, everything arises and it becomes real to you. That is what delusion is all about. Then you grasp, you cling, and you hold, and you create this fire aggregate of form and mind through this consciousness. And these are conditioned arising state. This is not your true mind. This is your thinking mind. This is your mundane mind. The conditioned arising mind. The true mind got no entity, no movement, nothing, nobody inside there. It's just silent. When you understand this, you will penetrate the Dhamma. You will awaken. Okay? Careful or not? So now we move on. We do not have to seek truth. So now you understand. Okay? Don't use thought. Understand not? Truth is not something far away, Krishnamurti said. It is the truth of the mind. Truth of the mind means what? This one refer to what? What mind is it? Truth of the true mind. But then there is another mind which delude you, the mundane mind. That's why he said, truth of its activity from moment to moment. When you are with the true mind, fully aware of its activity, of its thought processes, of its mental perception, feeling, activity of mind and consciousness. Moment to moment, anasana, means not allowing your thought project. Of this whole process of time, what is time? Psychological time, which is thinking. When thought arises, psychological time arises. When there is no thought, you are in the timeless. That's why Nibbana is timeless. when you go into that realization of Nibbana, which is a cessation of form and mind, is timeless. There is no psychological time. Like, you never pass through time. You never get old. Even scientists can prove that. You travel at the speed of light, time cease to be. Time is arrested. They got a formula to define time in there. For those who study science, they know. You know, time is a fourth dimension. Einstein already proved it. T equals to what? This one, for those who are science students, I think it may interest you. T equals to the square root 1 minus your speed over the speed of light. The whole thing square. If your speed tends towards the speed of light, what happens? S over C become what? Almost 1 in there. Correct not? So 1 minus 1 is what? 0. Time is arrested. And this is a proven formula. And scientists have confirmed it. Yeah. That's why Einstein's theory of relativity come from this. Yeah. Okay, we move on. If we are aware of this moment-to-moment truth, Krishnamurti said, of this whole process of time, this awareness releases consciousness or that energy to be. That is your true mind, the pure mind. As long as the mind uses consciousness as its self-activity, that is your mundane mind. Give me a minute, I need to drink. Consciousness as the self-activity means the egoic mind. Then time comes into being. That's why when there is thought, there is psychological time. With all its misery, with all its conflict, with all its mischief, its purposive deception. And it is only when the mind understanding this total process cease, understand not? This mundane mind must cease. That love will be. That is universal love, the pure mind. You may call it love or give it some other name. What name you give is of no consequence or importance. So this is the true understanding. That's why truth is within you, not something far away. Don't be deluded by what your thought projects. You just relax, silent, and aware. Go into it, and you will understand. The moment you connect, you will understand. Then we go on to the third quote. Can thought ever dissolve our problem? This is to wake you up. That's why a lot of people, they try to use thought to solve their problem. Actually, it never solved their problem. They think they solve. Understand? We read through. Krishnamurti said, thinking has not solved our problem. He said, the clever one. Who are the clever one? Not the wise one, or the clever one. The philosopher, the scholar, the political leaders or politicians have not really solved any of our human problems, which are the relation between you and another, between you and myself. So far, we have used the mind, the intellect, which is the thought, to help us investigate the problem and thereby are hoping to find a solution. Can thought ever dissolve our problem? It's not thought. He said, unless it is in a laboratory, where you do research. Where you do research, the thought is harmless, isn't it? But when you use thought, because you are deluded, thought is no more harmless. That's why he said, it's not thought unless it is in the laboratory on the or on the drawing board, always self-protecting. See? The egoic mind has the self, is always self-protecting, self-perpetuating and conditioned. That's why your thought has all this, understand? The self-delusion, the ego that wants to continue to protect yourself because it is selfish, that is self-perpetuating. It continues to create. That is so conditioned by your views, your opinion, conditioned by all the tradition, your culture, your belief system. It's not its activity self-centered, see, egoic. That's why self-delusion. And can such a thought ever resolve any of the problem which thought itself has created? Can the mind which has created the problem resolve those things that it has itself bring forth? So this one brings us to the discussion that we had at Wu Ping Jingse last Sunday. You remember not those who attended the class, otherwise you go and listen to that talk again. Here Krishnamurti say exactly the same thing. Problem created by thought, you try to resolve it. And you use thought to resolve it. It's impossible, isn't it? That's what Shen Xiu did, understand? The Six Patriarch Sutta. You know who is Shen Xiu, isn't it? The chief monk before Hui Ning came. He wrote that poem, remember? He said, our body is like a Bohi tree. Our mirror is like, our mind. He doesn't know the true mind. He was talking about the mundane mind. He said, our mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. And that one, those who are awakened, like Hui Ning, they know that is the mundane mind. That is not the true mind. Then what did he do? Because he got this wrong view. He said, polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. Understand that? Then what did Hui Ning answer? He said, Bohi or enlightenment is not a tree. Understand how? Yeah, it's understanding, wisdom is not a tree. Then the true mind is neither the mirror bright nor the stand. He said, originally this true mind got nothing. Then where can the dust alight? What is dust? Yeah? Dust is defilement, is it? Unwholesome thought, is it? So what is Sun Tzu did? Polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. But who created dust? Who created dust? Your thought, through consciousness, because you are so conditioned by what? Duality, right and wrong. That's why you say, because you think you have to cultivate this way. You can only have pure thought, wholesome thought. No more defilement, no more dust, no more unwholesome thought. So what you do? Because you create dust. What is dust? Defilement, unwholesome thought. Whatever that is negative, you say unwholesome, defilement. But when you create this, what happens? The opposite come about. Understand? That's why he attached and cling to wholesome thought, right thought, without defilement. But the moment you create this, whatever that is not like that, manifests straight away. Understand? That's why right, if it's not right, then wrong exists. That's how duality come about. That's why Lao Tzu, he teach the Tao Te Ching. He teach the yin-yang theory. It's the same. Everything has its opposite, yin and yang, because the thought creates. So the Buddha said the same. He said, imas means sati, idang hoti. Meaning, if you create one side, imas means sati, idang hoti. The other side will manifest. When you create good, whatever that is not good, automatically, the other side, which is wrong, will arise, or bad will arise. Then the second statement is what? Imas means asati. Idang arhoti. When this does not exist, that also ceases to be. Asana. When there is no right, there is no wrong. When there is no good, there is no bad. When there is no wholesome, there is no unwholesome defilement. So why do you want to create? When you accept things as they are, no right, no wrong, you have wisdom. You are perfect. Then you don't have to do anything. Understand? That's why sensuous way of cultivation, you cannot free your mind. Every day must be ever mindful to polish until it shine. Who polish? The thought polish. The mundane mind cultivating. If you do that, you cannot awaken. That's why the fifth patriarch give him a hint. You are at the gate of enlightenment, but you don't know how to seize your mind and go in. You are still trapped in duality. So like Krishnamurti said, when you create it through your thought, which is the egoic mind, how can you solve it? Because you create the duality, understand not? You cannot kill it, understand not? Unless you cease one, don't create, then automatically the other side cease. As long as you maintain right and wrong, these two will continue to exist. That's why I like the yin and yang, you remember? Oh, I rub it off already. Within all the white, there's a black dot. Within all the black, there's a white dot. They call it the black sheep. You cannot do away with it, understand not? Because duality is the conditioned world, is the mundane mind, is the egoic mind, and that is not your true mind. Your true mind has got no duality, because there is no being inside there, there is no one inside there, there is no entity inside there. It's just the oneness, the source of all things, because it is not born. That's why it will never grow old, get sick and die. It is eternal life, because it was never born. It was the original, but neither being more original nature, true nature. Oh, 10:30. We finish exactly. So, okay, yeah, we finish. So you got any more question? You got question, maybe you can ask one question. Is it clear? Today one is very important. You can penetrate this, you will become beautiful. Then your meditation will become a lot easier. No question, huh? One more last chance. If you don't have question, then we end. Okay, we end. Oh yeah, we end for the year. But Tuesday class still on, huh? So maybe it's good condition to wish you all a happy coming English New Year. And those who also celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. Then we hope the world will be a better world, moving into 2016. The consciousness is evolving and moving very fast. So hopefully things will be much better from 2016 onward. Other thing I don't know, but for the Kayamita it's going to be very good, I tell you. Moving into next year is going to move a lot faster. The evolution of consciousness within the Kayamita, the Kayamita force and the collective consciousness is going to be very different. And if you have faith, you will progress very fast. And many things will happen next year. So together, shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then last 2 years has been fantastic year for Kayamita. A lot of you all will also come to that realization. The last 2 years, a lot of things just happened. And it's very, very amazing. The book that is going to come out, which I promise you all, I just finished the editing. The one transcript done by Lily and Puan Chi, I think. Based on our Thursday class, I think. June, June this year, if I'm not wrong. I forgot the title already. Because it's based on a Thursday class. sharing. But this one is very good. It describes to you, summarize to you all the important understanding of meditation that you need. That's why in the talk I mentioned somebody can volunteer to do the transcript. It will help a lot of people. And two Kayanamita volunteer, then the book came about. Yeah. So I will send it out maybe next Monday. Yeah? When I go through it one more final round, because the content I have not finished. There's only one more page to go, the content. Once I finish, I can send it out. Then those who are involved help me go through the spelling check, then go through the editing. Then if you have good English, help me to improve the flow of language, because the thing that is recorded is very colloquial. You know what is colloquial, colloquial English means spoken form. Only you and I can understand. You give to Kuai Lo or Amolang, I don't think they can understand. They really, I don't think they want to read my book. right or not, isn't it, understand or not, the Kuai Lo cannot understand. We had our Malaysian colloquial English. That's why, hopefully, somebody can help us. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then you can evoke the blessing for the nation. Then after that, we can make our aspiration. Sharing of merits with Devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan. Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and others who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end. Yeah, for allowing us to use the place to do our Dharma class and sharing. Then the 1st of January one is a house dana. All are invited. It's a potluck thing. But if you don't have anything to bring along also, it's okay because there's more than enough food. Yeah, a lot of food. So Susan say, don't worry about food. Yeah. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. So wishing everybody Happy New Year.